Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic, broadcasting to you live from an undisclosed location in the Mile High City. Now, for your ears' pleasure, Michael Amadei and JT.
But write one or two indicative words for the future. But I advance a moment only to wheel and hurry back in the darkness. I am a man who, sauntering along without fully stopping, turns a casual look upon you and then averts his face, leaving it to you to prove and define it, expecting the main things from you.
Good evening. Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic. Welcome home. Welcome, everyone. And welcome to the March 22nd, 2019 edition. I am one of your hosts, Michael Amadei. I'm here sitting across from the man who keeps everything moving. It's Mr. JT. How are you, sir?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Good. I'm feeling a little unconventional tonight.
Unconventional?
Yes, unconventional. I very rarely feel conventional, but tonight I feel extra
unconventional.
It's like most of the time I'm like a Taco Bell mild sauce.
Okay.
But today I'm fire sauce.
Whoa, you jump straight over the hot, huh?
Just
straight into
hot. I don't think I'd even mention it. Just be like, yeah, I'm feeling a little spicy today. But now I'm just like, oh no, I'm fuego.
All right.
Okay. Anyway, so it's been a really interesting week. It's been a good week. We have a few things that we're going to be talking about tonight. We've got, of course, the passing of W.S. Merwin.
Yes,
passed away just the other day, and we're just going to be talking about some just various writing topics and things like that, and just kind of connecting with everyone who calls into the show. But really, tonight is a show about poetry. It's about you calling, sharing your stuff. Us reading any submissions that we might have, and just kind of enjoying each other's company. That's something I'm really looking forward to this evening. JT, anything big and exciting happened to you this week?
No, nothing exciting.
Really? That's not what I heard.
What did you hear?
I heard things.
Oh? No, it was slightly depressing on Thursday at noon. Yeah, I wasn't going to get the day off today.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, what happened?
I just couldn't take the day off.
Why were you going to take the day off?
To have a day off.
Oh, just in general.
Yeah, I need a mental health break from work.
From government work?
No, just from that work.
Specifically.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
fair enough. Fair enough. I understand. Now, I am, as of now,
yes,
on spring break.
Woohoo!
Which is pretty exciting.
That's a good thing.
I'm mostly going to be filling it with...
with work,
spring cleaning, and work, and you know what I do, but it will be nice to be kind of getting some projects that really need to move along where they're going to go. I have realized something, JT, and I don't, I start kind of doing things without thinking about it. I mean, I'm conscious and I'm not doing terrible things, but so I started wearing motorcycle jackets to school a lot.
Yeah,
and I don't know what this is about. Now, I'm not going to own another motorcycle. That was a thing that flew a long time ago. I'm not doing that anymore.
Okay.
However, today I find myself walking out of school carrying my guitar, motorcycle jacket on, sunglasses on, and three sixth-grade boys who I know, and they know I'm kidding. They stop me and they go, "Mr. Amadei, why are you dressed like you're cool?" Which is such a great kid question.
Yeah.
And my response was, because I am cool. Have a good spring break, nerds. And walked out. Now, of course, they're laughing.
Right.
But at the same time, it starts making me think, should I really be? Maybe I should. Because that's one thing in a Catholic school. Nobody's cool in a Catholic school.
So
nobody is cool.
You're going to be the cool one.
I'm going to be the cool. Well, hey, man, if it's not the guy who runs around laughing maniacally and playing guitar loudly in the hallways for people, then who's it going to be? The religion teacher in seventh grade? That guy's lame as hell. And I think he wishes he was a priest. Anyway, okay, we're not going to get into it. Anyway. So let's do this. We're going to go through our rules for the show. Basically, the way this is going to work is we're going to do a segment of five unique callers. You get put in the order in which your call is received. If you're not getting through, just keep calling, but also watch the chat room. We'll let you know when we're filled up, okay? Also, once that's done, we'll go to another segment, and then after that, we'll judge if there's a third segment needed, and if there is not, we'll go to what is called a return engagement, where anyone can call back in, or anyone can call for the first time if they would like and share something. Okay? Here are our basic rules. Number one, no hate speech. We don't do it. We never will. Number two, please skew PG-13 with your work, because we're trying to make this a really friendly environment for people to be able to listen to and call in, even with kids and, you know, people who are in their teens and whatever. We just want it to be something that's comfortable. That being said, we're not in the business of censorship. So if it's art, we're not going to jump in and break it apart. However, if it's just gets a little too over the top, if it's just really going for it, we reserve the right to jump in and suggest that you read it during the return engagement, after dark.
There you go.
Which we have once a month on the first Friday of each month. Rule number three, when we come on, please be prepared. Have your poem ready to go, just so we can be respectful of the time of all the other people listening and calling. It kind of gets late on a Friday night, especially on the East Coast, where a lot of our callers are. Next rule, number four, please keep your work no longer than 3 to 5 minutes. Once again, it's just that respect piece for everyone. And that's pretty easy to figure out. You can eyeball it and figure that out. And then the last rule, number five, we love your comments. We love your suggestions. But honestly, if you tell us on the air, it's so easy for us to forget, and we don't want to do that. So if you have comments or suggestions, please, instead of just telling us on the air, send it to us, World Poetry Open Mic, in the contact form. That's a great place. Or you can just send it to worldpoetryopenmic@gmail.com. Either way, that's something we can see and we can take it and actually talk about it at our meetings that we have in the middle of the week.
Yeah.
All right. And then the sixth rule, that's it. No other rules. Great. Okay. All right. JT, do you have anything to add before we get into this?
No, I'm good to go.
All right, man. So here we go. Corn dogs for all these people. 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID World Poetry Open Mic.
No matter your gender.
No matter your religion.
No matter where you are from.
You have a voice that matters.
You have a poetic home here.
Free from judgment.
Free from hate. Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic.
And that was the amazing W.S. Merwin. Incredible stuff.
Yeah.
He's so good. He's so good.
Yeah.
And he will be missed, but 91 is a great life. He really went for it. And, just happy to be able to have read his work and to be surrounded by his work.
Yeah, definitely.
That's the kind of legacy that I think artists want to leave. It's like you pass away and people will miss you. However, they have this legacy that you've left behind that will live on from them because of the quality and the work you put into it. I think that's wonderful. We've got some great callers lined up here, and I'm really actually looking forward to this lineup. I want to see what happens here. Now, I'm doing something different. I'm doing something different tonight. I'm doing something that I feel has more authenticity for me.
Okay.
I'm trying. I'm exerting effort here. I'm using actual state catchphrases to introduce the states.
Oh.
I know. Here we go.
Okay.
This next one. Oh, wait. There's three of them. Should I use the current one, the second most current, or the last one? The first one that ever happened.
Second.
The second one. Okay. No, you're ready. Here we go. All right. Here we go. Now we're going to head to Michigan. Michigan. Great lakes, great times, more to see. Put your underwear back on. let's go to visit Dennis. Hello, Dennis.
Oh, what an introduction. Yes.
Sorry about that. I think that last part they left off the license plates, right?
Yeah, maybe.
Okay, all right. How are you doing, sir? How are you?
I'm doing well. It's Friday night. Yeah. And do you know how many Good Fridays there are during a year?
You know what? I think they're almost all great. I got to tell you,
They're all good when WPOM is broadcasting on Friday night.
And you know the funny thing is when we're not on, you think we'd be doing something good, but a lot of times we're sitting there just like, this feels really strange.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's Friday night. Yay!
So what do you have for us this time?
Well, I understand that there is a great poet that has a birthday today.
Yes.
And it's Billy Collins.
No, right.
And but I didn't write a poem for Billy Collins. My poem is "We Salute James Rothline."
Beautiful.
And it goes like this. Hail James Rothline, a faithful, true friend, whose truth and values know no end. Today, we gather to confirm his vast worth on this anniversary, the day of his birth. A soul of wit and a soul of grace peers out towards us, a red-whiskered face with knowing eyes and a charming twinkle, ready to confound and make us thinkle. A venerable sage with few known fears, he possesses wisdom beyond his years. While musing upon life's cricket game, he seeks his fortune. He seeks his fame. Across the land, be it flat, low, or hilly, we raise our salute, a bold dilly-dilly. Despite Amadei's protest, we joyfully sing, proving once again, it is a thing. James shares depth within his brevity, immersing us in thoughtful levity. As he reaches new readers, long be his days. May he receive much accolades and worthy praise. Happy birthday, James Rothline. End of poem.
I like that one, yeah. Dennis. That was really nice.
Very, very nice.
Well, I hope it suited the occasion.
It definitely did. It definitely did. And just so everyone knows, I am launching my next attack on the dilly-dilly thing coming in the coming weeks.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
I've been amassing a pile of evidence.
Did you hear that, James? Come on, buddy. Rally around the flag. Dilly, dilly.
Dennis, I'm sure he loved that. And I'm sure he did. I think they all did. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. And thanks for leading off the show as always.
Well, yes. Thanks for letting me do that. My fingers were quick. My draw was sure. And I jumped in right ahead of everyone else. And I don't know how it happened, but here I was.
It does happen.
And I thank you for the opportunity. And thank you again for this platform that we share. Thank you for being here every week for us. And I'm going to step aside and let the next poet from Connecticut step up to the mic. And I'm going to say, God bless.
God bless, Dennis.
God bless. And that was Dennis calling from Michigan. Pure Michigan.
Pure Michigan. Oh, that's right.
That's actually
their
thing.
Their plate. Yeah,
see? I'm trying.
Well done, sir. Okay. I applaud you for that one.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm able to read. Let's now go to Connecticut. Should I do the first one or the second one?
First.
Okay. Connecticut, full of surprises to visit with Barbara. Hello, Barbara.
Hello, Michael.
I'm trying the actual slogan thing tonight.
I didn't really hear the slogan because I had a...
Well, JT chose the first one. So there's two. He chose the first one. The first one was Connecticut, full of surprises.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just driving down the street one night. And, ah, surprise. Oh, we're in Connecticut. You know how it goes.
Not quite that wonderful, but Connecticut. Connecticut is full of surprises, yes.
I would imagine that, yeah.
Yes, yes, yes. Surprising weather, surprising people, surprise. Anyway, I read this poem a while ago, but I feel for today, mm-hmm. with the news the way it is, that I want to read it again. And it's called, you ready?
Yeah.
Run!
All right.
5 exclamation points. When the news becomes a frightening melange of deaths and deceit, and the world around me seems to be breaking apart piece by piece, a crumbling, not so much a breakage of all I hold dear, as a beanbag chair might split a little and its contents spilled onto the floor, you watch as the fabric shrinks without its filling, or a concrete dam develops a crack and begins to have water seep out slowly. Institutions of government suddenly exhibit symptoms of doing the same, and no longer can I respect the one who leads my country. When no longer can I make sense of events since they happened years ago and upon foreign soil with people I have never seen intertwined with nefarious cohorts in myriad ways so unthinkable they can't be examined for fear it will disturb the calmness that has seemed to descend upon some who swallow the lies to cover up this corrupt wannabe king. My equilibrium seesaws back and forth while on steady ground, and the thoughts I have can no longer be tolerated for fear they will cross the line into criminal, while millions suffer every day from the lack of what I regularly consume, water, food, and a safe place to live. When the color of someone's skin and cultural background are now topics of conversation for some and heartache for others, and they pour out their iniquities to a small audience of their cause, while others continue to use these against them, and some don't even bother to think of the feelings of anyone, not their color or background. Psst, Caucasian Christians. It is time to uncover the reasons and bring them to the surface for it all. And when this behavior becomes a disaster of inhuman proportions, overflowing into the peaceful lives of those who only wish to live and be free, it is a curse and must be dealt with as one might deal with sickness. For it is an evil spread by contact with the ones who have infected the well ones, a scourge of society who care not to know what is the news. Instead, they believe it is all manufactured and fake, like the lies they are told and brainwashed by awful TV and radio shows, spreading this disease and allowing it to fester. When suicide is becoming a nightly event on which to report, and those who are leaving are the best and the brightest, celebrities offing themselves in posh circumstances, why, you ask yourself, is this happening? Has their life become so much worse due to having what we all have dreamed? Could it happen to us if we were in their spot? Over and over, we see images of people who are starving or hurt by disaster, and they are scrounging for food and survival each day. Yet they still live and go through each day with hope it will get better. Where was the hope for those who took their lives? And again, I ask myself, will it ever end? Childhood realities of living in a place where all could be free and where we welcomed all until my own middle ages and beyond. Bring into contrast the desolate picture for our country on this trajectory. We have gotten out of orbit and must right ourselves, or we will plummet into a black hole. Are we on that course already? As I look at the innocent face of a toddler at the DMV, eager to experience life, gazing at the adult faces in front of her as if she were on a stage and gobbling it all up, I see maybe a slight minuscule shift in the trajectory and hope that maybe she and others of her age might be the saviors for all. End poem.
Powerful piece, Barbara. I have to say, with the exception of a few lines in there, I feel like you could have written that from my point of view about Dilly Dilly.
Perhaps, no, Michael, no, perhaps.
No, I'm kidding. It was a very powerful piece. Thank you for sharing it.
This was, I think, the right day to say it too, because, you know, of what's going on. So I thought I'd try, you know, I'd use it here. But, you know, that's how I feel. I feel we should just all run as fast as we can somewhere.
You know, we don't need to all run at the exact same thing, but what we do need is quality people all running for the right places, and then we can kind of reshape this landscape as we want to by voting.
Well, that's what we all want, I'm sure. But, you know.
Yeah. I just, you know.
What can I say?
What can we say?
This isn't, you can't say anything, but that's why poetry is alive. So, great.
It's true. And if you make something rhyme or you make it funny, you can say almost anything.
Exactly. Or so horrible that, you know, people just have to listen.
It's like, true. Fair enough. Fair enough.
Okay.
All right.
I'm going to get off the phone and let someone else get on, whoever's number three.
Okay. Sounds good.
Okay.
Thank you.
See you later. Bye.
See you later. And that was Barbara calling from Connecticut in the number two spot here in our first segment of the evening. Now up next, we have a caller from the great state of Kentucky. Let's go to Philip. He's calling us from Kentucky, where education pays.
Is that really our state saying?
It was a former state saying, but yeah, it's an actual one.
Oh. Yeah. Well.
The other one is Kentucky. It's that friendly.
which can be taken so many different ways.
There's so many great things about that one now that I think about it.
I think there are many possible misinterpretations of that and humorous ones too.
It's that friendly.
Well, I like the one you chose. I have quite a few. There are several educators in my family, so that's very, very.
Wait, let me ask this, though. Were they paid?
Were they paid? Well, they do their taxes according to, their profession. So, yes, I would think so.
They're a little paid at least, huh? They're a little bit paid.
I think the question is not paid, or not the question, the statement is, or response is not paid enough.
Fair enough.
universal, everywhere.
All teachers,
teachers
for sure.
Should be paid way more. So,
there's just so many.
You're an educator.
I am an educator for the time being.
Yes.
Yeah, it's true.
Well, you've got me all smiling here, and thank you so much. May I ask who was reading the Merwin piece?
So we were trying to figure that out. As far as we can tell, that's actually Merwin.
Oh, my gosh.
I think as far as we can tell, because we're trying to figure it out, and it's there's nothing there, right, JT?
Yeah,
so it's almost like it's just him. Yeah. Reading the stuff, as far as we know. Now, we could be wrong, but to the best of our knowledge.
Well, that's really quite wonderful, because I think I've even read that poem in particular on the show, and you know, it's so interesting to hear how someone reads their own work, and it sounded so different from, of course, you know, I wouldn't anyway.
you're absolutely right. Yeah.
Yeah, those are large shoes to fill. Let's put it that way.
Clown shoes, Philip. Clown shoes. All right. I'm going to give you the stage. We can go on. You and I could go on like this forever. So I think
we could. And what a delight. And thank you. I will do my best, and I will get to it.
Sounds great.
The title: Lines Culled Before Sleep. And here we go. prayers go on without you. Wanderers who've not rested, nor will they since the first diaspora. Kinder resemblances to the collective unconscious, unseen, unheard, but ubiquitous, in a lullaby background, unexplained. They are not composed by what slops over brisk mouths, nor echoes diminished into unbounded distances behind the restless, obstreperous forehead. Evoked from a fear arisen out of reincarnation, the dread that one may suffer humanity again. And there it is, fellers.
You may suffer humanity again. I love that.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, very enjoyable.
And I look forward to the other poets, and I leave with a blush.
Hey, thank you,
Phil. I hope you can hear it.
We can hear you blushing from here. like a large ripe tomato with poetry. Okay. No, I don't know what I'm saying. All right.
That's what I write.
I'll be in touch over the next few days, okay? Hope you're doing well, buddy.
Okay, wonderful. Yes, sir. All right.
All right. We'll talk soon. Thank you. Bye. And that was Philip calling from Kentucky. What's the other saying? Okay, so there's another one. Oh, Kentucky. Unbridled spirit. That's a pretty nice one.
Yeah.
You know? I think it was either that, or it was the other runner up was Kentucky. Woohoo! But they just thought that was too much like Texas.
That's too much like Texas. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you hear about the thing in Texas? A guy was noticing rustling underneath his floorboards.
No.
Or in his house. Yeah. Like it was kitchen. He was hearing something under the house. He's like, there's something down there. So he looks down. No joke. This was an actual news story. 45 rattlesnakes under his house.
Yeah, I
that's insane. 45 rattlesnakes living under your house?
That's pretty incredible,
that's
actually.
That's basically snakes having babies and having babies.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Got a perfect spot. I mean...
True.
If you can have that amount.
You got to imagine the snakes got to be super bored down there. Just like, here we are. Under a house.
Guess we could make some noise.
Yeah, but he's like, I just thought this house had rhythm. It was like...
Sounds like maracas down there.
He's like, I don't know what's going on, but I feel like I'm in Hernando's Hideaway. All right. There's your random reference for the night. Okay. Hey, everybody. Hey. Let's... All right, here we go. I'm going to go to, they've got a lot of catchphrases in Pennsylvania.
They should.
So now we're going to, yes, they need them. Let's go now to visit the birthday boy,
hey,
Jim, in Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania, you got a friend in Pennsylvania. Hey, Jim.
Hi, I like you, but go away.
Hey, man. If you knew how many times that phrase is said to me, you would understand why it doesn't bother me anymore.
Because I'm Batman.
That's right. Batman.
I'm Batman.
You're Bat-Mulan? Is that what you said? Bat-Mulan?
I'm Batman.
Oh, okay. Batman. Okay. Yeah, okay. Fair enough.
I'm Batman. Dilly-dilly.
Dilly-dilly.
James, I would like to read you a tweet sent out here. So this is one person on the day of the Super Bowl. Thoughts and prayers to all Super Bowl parties ruined by the one or two people who won't stop saying dilly dilly. I'm just playing. Happy birthday, Jim.
I will always say dilly dilly.
Oh, I know you will.
Yeah.
Because I'm Batman.
I think I'm Batman should be the new Dilly Dilly on this show. I will. We can argue about this now.
Okay.
All right. So Jim, did you have a good birthday?
Yes.
Wonderful.
Until midnight.
Until midnight, and then it's all downhill from there.
Yes.
All right. All right. So, what do you have for us?
Well, it's also Billy Collins' birthday, and so I'm going to be reading one of his.
perfect.
The trouble with poetry. The trouble with poetry, I realized as I walked along a beach one night, cold Florida sand under my bare feet, a show of stars in the sky. The trouble with poetry is that it encourages the writing of more poetry. More guppies crowding the fish tank, more baby rabbits hopping out of their mothers into the dewy grass. And how will it ever end, unless the day finally arrives when we have compared everything in the world to everything else in the world, and there is nothing left to do but quietly close our notebooks and sit with our hands folded on our desks. Poetry fills me with joy, and I rise like a feather in the wind. Poetry fills me with sorrow, and I sink like a chain flung from a bridge. But mostly poetry fills me with the urge to write more poetry, to sit in the dark and wait for a little flame to appear at the tip of my pencil. And along with that, the longing to steal, to break into poems of others with a flashlight and a ski mask. And what unmarried band of thieves we are, cut purses, common shoplifters, I thought to myself as the cold waves swirled around my feet and the lighthouse moved its megaphone over the sea, which is an image I stole directly from Lawrence Ferlinghetti, to be perfectly honest for a moment, the bicycling poet of San Francisco, whose little amusement park of a book I carried in the side pocket of my uniform up and down the treacherous halls of high school. End of poem.
Very, very nice. Great read.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's so cool.
I haven't read that in years.
I was going to say, that's like the longest thing you've read in years.
Yes.
Man, that's cool. Thanks so much for reading it, and thanks for spending your part of your birthday with us, man. Really.
Thanks.
We're happy to be here for you, and we will sing to you in a little while, okay?
Okay.
All right, awesome. I'm working out what song we're going to sing. It's got to be something to do with your birthday, but I'm working it out. Okay.
That'll be interesting.
All right, yeah. Well all right. Hey, Jim, thanks so much, and we'll talk to you during the return engagement, hopefully.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
We'll talk to you then.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. And that was Jim calling from Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania, America starts here.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
well, it was capital.
Yeah, true.
It's got a bell and everything. I mean, sorry, I couldn't help myself.
I got a bell.
Ding, ding, ding,
right here.
Ding,
ding. I ring it when I want something. Ding, until ding, someone ding, comes ding, and asks me what and tries to get me to stop.
What?
Can I have a sandwich? All right. Okay, I got to find. Okay, let's go back to Michigan. Okay, here we go. I'm going to try a new one.
Uh-oh.
Here we go.
Ready?
Okay. And now let's go to George in Michigan. Michigan, water/winter wonderland. Hello, George. How are you?
I missed that. What was that? Michigan?
This is when I have water, and it looks like water/winter wonderland.
Yes, that was our license plate for the longest time.
Okay.
And the wonder part of it was wonder when the hell it was going to end.
We can completely understand that this year in Colorado. You know, what the hell is going on here?
I know. I heard all about it.
I'm sure you did.
Great stuff.
So how are you, sir? How's everything going?
Good. I was in a foreign country this week. Canada.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. If you take a slingshot, if you walk a few blocks from my house down to the river and take a long, strong slingshot, you can hit Canada. You can see it. So it's not exactly very far away, but of course, to get there, unless you feel like swimming through ice floes, you drive up to the Detroit to the big Ambassador Bridge and cross over.
Okay.
And I did the, my granddaughter, the young 8-year-old granddaughter, had never been out of the country, and we were watching her this week. In fact, that's why I did call in Friday. And
that makes sense.
I said, "Have you ever been to Canada?" "No." "Well, you are now." Except I forgot one. Except I forgot one key thing.
What's that?
Her ID. Her ID.
Oh.
Did Guess they keep what? Her?
They went through my car twice.
Did they really?
They didn't believe I was related to her.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, to be honest, if that actually was the case, we'd be really thankful that they were going through your car twice. Oh, man.
Exactly. Wow. Anyway, she was, I tried to make it all very funny for her, and I guess I succeeded because she said, "I had a great time in Canada."
Good.
Just because you're wandering. Just because you're wandering from customs office to customs office on both sides, it means we had a great time. But it was sunny, and I took pictures of her in front of the guards, who I forced to grin. And we were, it was great.
Oh,
so I'm back on one piece.
Well,
what I want to read is,
yeah.
Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go on. That's fine.
I'm on a cover of a poem by a guy named C.P. Cavafy, who I'm going to read next month in a Poetry Month outing here. And this guy was born in Greece, 1863. So he lived in Egypt. He lived in London. He lived in Paris. And it's a tremendous effect, often called the, what do they call him? Sorry about that. I have that written down here somewhere. Considered the most distinguished Greek poet of the 20th century. So whatever that's worth. He was steeped in history and sort of a unique, sort of a groundbreaking style. And this one is called, he loved, the stories of the ancient Romans and so forth. This one is called Waiting for the Barbarians by C.P. Cavafy. What are we waiting for, assembled in the forum? The barbarians are due here today. Why isn't anything going on in the Senate? Why are the senators sitting there without legislating? Because the barbarians are coming today. What's the point of senators making laws now? Once the barbarians are here, they'll do the legislating. Why did our emperor get up early, and why is he sitting enthroned at the city's main gate in state wearing the crown? Because the barbarians are coming today. And the emperor is waiting to receive their leader. He's even got a scroll to give him, loaded with titles, with imposing names. Why have our two consuls and proctors come out today wearing their embroidered, their scarlet togas? Why have they put on bracelets with so many amethysts, rings sparkling with magnificent emeralds? Why are they carrying elegant canes, beautifully worked in silver and gold? Because the barbarians are coming today, and things like that dazzle the barbarians. Why don't our distinguished orators turn up as usual to make their speeches, say what they have to say? Because the barbarians are coming today, and they're bored by rhetoric and public speaking. Why is this sudden bewilderment, this confusion? How serious people's faces have become? Why are the streets and squares emptying so rapidly? Everyone going home lost in thought. Because night has fallen and the barbarians haven't come. And some of our men just in from the border say there are no barbarians any longer. Now what's going to happen to us without barbarians? Those people were kind of a solution. End of poem.
Wow. Nice. Chichi, what'd you think?
I really like that piece. It even fits current things. I mean, I'm sitting here going, yeah, wow.
Yeah, partway through the poem, he actually did, George, look up and go, this is like right on for right now.
I know.
Yeah.
I'm onto that.
Yeah.
Well done. Well, good pick.
Yeah. Man.
Yeah.
Yeah. George, thanks a lot for that. We appreciate it. It was awesome.
Man, glad to be here, and I missed last week, and glad to be back, and I will wait for the next poet.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you, sir, and we'll talk to you during the return engagement, we hope.
Great.
All right, thanks. And that was George calling from Michigan. Michigan, I'm running out of slogans. Okay.
Wow.
You like that one?
Yeah.
All
that
right,
was
cool.
Kind of weird.
I think I'm working on becoming like a sportscaster.
Yeah.
I can start saying stuff like that.
Okay.
Be like, and there he goes for the home run. problem is, this is soccer.
Yeah.
You know? So, like, I think I'd be good at that.
Yeah.
He would go all the way if he wasn't a moron. Instead, he's down on the 20.
Flopping around.
I think I would be good. I could be like the Simon Cowell of sports.
Ooh.
Then get beat up very quickly.
Probably.
Yes, I would. Okay. By ultra superior physical athletes who do it for a living, who can jump clear over my head. Did I mention I'm 2 feet tall? Okay, so we need five more people to call in, five more unique callers, 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID, World Poetry Open Mic.
Rock the mic, rock the mic. When you rock, nothing can stop you. When you suck, nothing can save you. Rock the mic, hot. Hot, hot like this, I won't mess around. I won't waste your time. When you rock. My name is Lenny C., and I'm here to rock the mic. Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic.
And rock the mic he did. That was Professor Lenny C., and of course, that was another amazing, amazing piece. All right. Mm. Now, we've got three callers, but we also have a submission from someone who hasn't contributed in a little while. I really want to read his piece first. Is that okay with you?
Yeah, that's fine.
All right. Now, I'm actually really excited about this segment here, too. So this does mean that, of course, after we finish this, it will automatically trigger the return engagement.
Yeah.
But we'll just kind of mention that again when we get closer, okay? So this piece that was sent in by none other than Steve Zhanka. Hello, Steve. I hope you're listening. And this is a piece that you submitted called Bravery. I walked among the heroes, it's true. But the bravest person I ever knew was my mom as we said goodbye. Yet at the time, I did not know why. She knew the uncertainty I would see. I had thought of myself, I won't change, no, not me. She knew things our youth blinded us to see, that soon her boy would cease to be. We grew up fast, it didn't take long. We lost our innocence, we lost our song. Yet the bravery she showed back then, I've reflected on again and again, the day I left for Vietnam. And that was Bravery by none other than Steve Zhanka. Steve, we love you. Thank you so much for sending this in. We've missed your work. We understand you can't be with us all the time, but we're here with open arms anytime you can join us. Thank you for this. And it's been a real honor having your work on the show.
Yes.
All right. Now, we're going to get ready to head over to Michigan, but I have a line, okay?
Ready? I'm ready.
When the mitten state becomes a fist, it then punches the Canadian scourge and sends it back to the frozen, hellish north from which it came. We'll show you what it's really about. From Michigan.
Punches.
Let's go to Chris. Good evening, Chris.
Do you really want me to follow that?
I feel like that was a good setup, though, because anything's going to be better than that.
You think?
Oh, the Steve piece or my thing? Because Steve's thing was great, but my thing was horrible. I was trying to bring the level back down so you can do whatever you want.
You succeeded.
Score. All right. Okay. How are you? Yes, as James says.
So, how are you, Chris?
I'm Batman.
Oh, you are too. This is great.
Well, I've got a new one I literally posted today.
All right.
So, I want to go right to it so you can get to the return engagement, and maybe get a couple other people in here as well.
Sure.
And Steve's phone was great.
Yeah, it was.
Anyway, this is called Lovely Days Are the Stuff of Dreams. And the lion roared. The world paused. The white glittered and glimmered and shimmered. And so softly melted away. The brightening winds of March arose and let fall the rain over and over again. Next, the bird song came with morning's rise. Warbles and titters, twitters, and even doves sighs echoed the fields and flows. Winter's ghosts expanded into memories, and the greening began anew. For you see, lovely days are the stuff of dreams, mine, yours, and such dreams are seldom of tomorrow's. They are more the now, immediate, with such a sense of the deep, deep sighs within and ever behind our eyes. We live as we can, often staring into our own souls, as the air brushes our cheeks, teases the locks of hair into tickling our hearts. Do you feel the smile as it softly curls your lips, as your eyes dim and your breath awaits, as fingertips pulse and heartbeats pound, and you know just how powerful wishes truly are. I paint you with my dreams, unposed, standing there with the grace I've always known, hair loose and lightly flowing, eyes up forever, looking o'er the airy edge, and hands slowly raising aloft toward the distant sun. You're following our fair, as their dance continues to weave to the very edges of existence. I feel your breath teasing the hairs of my arms as I quietly pause, gazing into life. As the coffee mists grow, ever-expanding, swirling, whirling, writhing into ghostlets of wish it were. As in the dream, you lift your hands, hands so lightly beckoning, drawing, touching all that I am. It's spring again. Thanks, guys.
That was absolutely beautifully done. And, you know, I've told Stan on this show before that, you know, he's my preferred voice for the end of the world, you know, to announce that it's going to happen. But I think I'm going to amend this. So Stan is still my preferred voice for the end of the world. But after all of the cataclysmic things have happened, the voice I want reading the last things that are said before the sun goes down is your voice, Chris. Way to go. Thank you.
God, we were here.
Yeah.
Man.
That was beautiful.
Say more than that.
Yeah. That was beautiful. I really, really that connected pretty strongly. So thank you, as always. But thank you for that one specifically. And hopefully we can get you during the return engagement as well.
I think we'll have a good evening.
All right.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Let's talk to you later, Chris. And that was Chris calling from Michigan. Michigan, I'd like to apologize to Canada. Please don't kick me out next time I try to come in. See?
Yeah, made up for it, huh?
I'm trying to.
Okay.
Man, those Mounties. They're not screwing around. You know, there's an interesting thing about law enforcement. And it's not just the Mounties.
No.
What's with stupid hats and really serious people? Because let's be honest, a police officer's hat is not the coolest hat. You know what I mean? It's a little silly, in a way, right? Either that or it's a little camp. You know, it's like if a normal person wore that, they'd better be in like a used to be famous like late 80s, early 90s rock band named like Faster Pussycat or something.
Okay.
Right? But instead we put our public servants who are responsible for enforcing the rule of law in these silly hats. And then the Mounties, silly hats, but you know they're not screwing around. You think are the hats there to make them more human?
No. I think it's just a thing for a uniform. Make them unique enough that they stand out from the crowd.
You know what? That honestly is probably true. I've always believed, however, that people who choose uniforms for others to wear somehow are inclined to choose the dumbest things possible.
I didn't say they were cool or fashionable things, but I think it's just to stand out.
I don't know, man. The guys who have the guns tend to make the rules about what's fashionable or not. As I said in a class today, when someone said they had a private island that no government controlled, it's like, yes, my private island is not controlled by any government, unless, of course, they show up with all their guns, and yeah, of course, they can have anything they want.
Mm-hmm. Kind of crazy that way.
Kind of crazy how that works. All right, so let's go now. Oh, let me get ready here.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Sorry, I gotta prep myself here. I'm sorry, this takes a little bit of work. Okay, here we go.
Okay.
Now we're going to go to Mama Oladeji in Ohio.
Yeah,
Ohio, we wish we were in Michigan. Hello, Mama. How are you? I didn't write that one, though.
Ohio, we wish we were in Michigan.
I left the reverb on just to hear how silly that was.
How are you, Mama?
You got to hear it twice now.
Yes. You're making me pay. You're paying me back for my own stuff. Fair enough.
With your own stuff.
With my own stuff. It's even worse.
That's right. So how's everybody?
We're doing really well. How are you, Mama?
Well, you know, I'm really enjoying the program. That was a beautiful piece that somebody just did. Yeah, I was trying to bring you some new poets. And happy birthday to George. And I was trying to keep up with everything that's going on. And I tried to bring you some new poets, but nobody could figure out how to sign in there. I mean, they don't make it easy.
But to sign in to listen to Mixlr?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, it's my little cousin. He's the inspired penman. He has about like 3 books. And I'm like, you mean to tell me you can't even work your way into a program? And he's like, I can't get in there. I'm on my device. I said, you're on your device?
Weird.
I said, well, he couldn't get in there. So I sent him all kind of different ways to try to get in. I tried to get him in, like, dude. Facebook and different stuff. He said it wouldn't scroll down. It just stayed stuck. So I don't know.
Well, we'll see what we can do. I'll try to help him out. That's frustrating.
I'll send you his name. You can he has some really good stuff. And
great.
I was watching. And he's like the little baby I used to babysit. And I used to read poems to him when he was a little baby.
Mm.
And I got a funny story about him. I used to tell him. The phone rang and I was taking off his shirt and I had just got to the part where you raised your hands up and I didn't get it all the way over his head yet. I went and talked on the phone for about 5-10 minutes, come back and he's still with his hands up and the shirt over his covering his face and everything. And I said, why are you standing there with your hands up with your shirt on your face? He said, you told me don't move till you get back. I felt so bad.
Yeah.
He obeyed. Obedient baby just standing up there, arms up for like 5 minutes with his shirt over his head.
Oh my gosh.
But anyway, yeah, he grew up to be the inspired penman. So his name is Guy. So he can just, I'll send you the information so you can see how you can get him in.
Sure.
So anyway, I had an epiphany today and I had a real good time and God intervened in my life today. So I'm going to read this. I just wrote it while I was listening to the program because that's what he was telling me to write. So here I go.
All right.
It's called Ashes to Ashes. If all of me sums up to be a pile of smoldered ash, then all of me could fit into a glass. If that's all I amount to on this earth, I pray my soul finds everlasting worth. Because who Jah bless, let no man curse. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust, afraid of the fiery lake. Will God open up the gate? I pray I did not wait too late to say forgive me for what I've done wrong. I can tell when he has my back. I can tell when he intervenes, like today when I called the bank, and the bank never called me back. They sent me a letter, said overdraft, yet South Africa had a cyclone draft. Media said 150 people died. My friend Ann said that's a lie. It's more like 1,000 or more lost their lives. Frantically, I called back the bank again to ask about my overdraft, they sent. Worried that I had overspent. My surprise, they said, there's none. I said, why did you send this notice? She said, the day it was sent, the money came in. She said, oh my God, you're still my friend. I asked no more questions, but I just said a prayer about God sending me money out of nowhere, trying hard to keep my nose clean while here. I want to amount to more than just dust on this wretched earth. I don't want to be slack before I die. Don't want to be cast into the eternal fire. Don't want to worry about my spiritual deficit, paying my dues while I'm on earth. I pray my soul finds favor in the afterlife where it counts. More than mere dust do I want to amount. As I sing my eternal dirge, God continue to shine light on my feet, I urge. If all of me sums up to a pile of smoldered ash, then if all of me can fit into a glass, if that's all I amount to on this earth, I'm thankful that my soul will find everlasting worth. In peace.
Wow. Great piece.
Yeah, no kidding. Mama, you bring it as always.
Well, I just wrote that. It's not even.
That's great.
The ink's not even dry, so I'm going to work on it a little bit.
Good. No, I love it. Fresh in the moment.
Yeah, because, you know, what happened today is I'm like, I go to the mailbox, I get this letter saying I'm overdraft, I'm like overdraft. And I could start calling the bank, and nobody ever calls me back. I call all these different numbers. I call the operator at the bank. I leave messages. But finally, at the end of the day, before they closed, I got through. And she said exactly what I said in the poem. She said, there's no overdraft. I said, well, why did you send me the letter? You know, having my whole day messed up here. And she said, because the money came in the same day. You don't even have a late fee. I mean, an overdraft fee. So,
wow.
God just, you know, I don't even know. I think it's because I didn't get sick or anything, and I think that was coming from the medical. It goes back into your account if you don't use it. I don't even know where it came from. It just showed up.
Interesting.
So, yeah, it's like I don't even know because I don't even know what I'm doing. I've never been old before. I keep telling them I'm the newly old. I'm newly old. I don't know all these different things. Like, they talk to you like you've been old all your life. You know, they ask you, do you have this part B, part A, this and that. I don't know. All I know is I'm old. I'm trying to figure it out figure all this stuff out. And, you know, I don't know.
Mama, we're all just newbies to the day we're in, aren't we? We're just newbies to the whole new situation we stepped into this moment.
I know. But this getting old thing is just really crazy because they act like you're supposed to know. You know?
Yeah, right.
I know there's people that's just getting old and they don't know what all these different parts to do. And you got to fill out all this stuff. You know, it's just really wicked. You look at my age, you see my Social Security number, give me what I'm supposed to be entitled to and leave me alone.
Sure. Yeah.
I understand that.
Yeah.
I love one of you all. Let me go to the chat room, to the page, and see what these poets are saying about my soul being saved.
Mama, thank you so much. We love you.
Yeah. Love you back.
All right. And that was Mama Odeji calling from Ohio. Let me see if I can find another thing for her here. Ohio, so much to discover.
I like that one.
That's a good one. He's also on, like, terrible pickup lines, though.
God, when you say it like that, they are.
Well, check this out. Like, I could just start saying these things down the line, and it would start sounding like I'm trying to pick someone up. It's like if I walk up, I could be like, Eureka. Just walk up and say it straight away, right?
Yeah.
I'm like, Sunshine State. Now, of course, District of Columbia ruins has been saying taxation without representation. That doesn't work.
I could
then say things like life-changing, fields of opportunity.
Ooh.
Yeah, see, that's a good one. Fall in love with Louisiana.
That's right.
I'm pointing to myself all over again. If you're looking for a merry land, go to merry land.
Wow.
See what I mean? See what I'm saying here?
Yeah.
Nebraska is a really good one. Nebraska, honestly, it's not for everyone. That's official, by the way. That's an official one.
It's very true.
Yeah. I don't know. I think there's some really, really good ones here. Land of Enchantment.
Yeah.
Liberty and Prosperity, which I accidentally read as Liberty and Puberty.
Awesome.
For New Jersey, which makes a lot of sense. All right, let's just move on. Make It Yours is a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Or Must Be Maine. You know what? That state's so crazy. Must be Maine.
Must be Maine, yeah.
All right, let's go now. Oh, I got to get ready. Let's go now to Alabama to visit with Stan. Hey, Alabama, share the wonder.
Alabama, you ain't from around here, is you?
Apparently not. Stan, are you sharing in the wonder?
Am I sharing in the wonder?
Yes.
I'm wondering. Yes, I am. Yes.
Wandering over here.
Yeah.
Wandering over there.
Wondering when the hell Michael's going to stop. Yeah.
Looking across the way at what's going on, going, I wonder what the hell they think they're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is probably a very, very accurate statement, actually. So how are you, sir? How's everything going?
Oh, everything's going just fine. This has been a great night. It really has.
It has. There's always some great work from the people who have been in the roster here. So, you know, we knew we were going to have a good night when we start seeing who was showing up.
Well, I definitely want to give a shout-out to Mr. James, and happy birthday, sir.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the gentleman may not be with us this evening, but has been here before. It is also happy birthday to Mr. Sinister.
Yeah, that's right. Now, are you in touch with him at all?
Off and on.
Okay.
Okay.
Rock and Roman.
Okay, good. Just wonder. I haven't spoken to him in a little bit, so just hoping he's doing well and was wondering. So, well, if you talk to him, tell him that he's welcome whenever he can do it. I know he knows that already, but you know.
Yeah, but hey, it never hurts to drop a hint.
That's right.
Whenever you want to come to the. Exactly. All right. So,
bring the fire.
Yeah. No kidding. So what do you have for us?
Well, I thought I'd do something. JT's going to enjoy this. I thought I'd do something from the Poet of the Month.
Yay!
Sorry, that's involuntary celebrations. We can't help ourselves.
That's quite all right. This is definitely a piece of Mr. John Updike.
All right.
And it is Flight to Limbo. The line didn't move, though there were not many people in it. In a half-hearted light, the lone agent dealt patiently, noiselessly, endlessly, with a large, dazed family ranging from twin toddlers in strollers to an old lady in a bent wheelchair. Their baggage was all in cardboard boxes. The plane was delayed. The rumor went through the line. We shrugged in hopelessness. Aviation had never seemed to be a very natural idea. Bored children floated with faces drained of blood. The girls in the tax-free shops stood frozen amid promises of a beautiful life abroad. Louis Armstrong sang in some upper corner, a trickle of ignored joy. Outside, in an unintelligible darkness that stretched to include the rubies of strip malls, winged behemoth prowled, looking for the gate, where they could bury their cola bear noses and suck our dimly dynamos dry. Boys in floppy sweatshirts and backwards hats slapped their feet ostentatiously, while security attendants giggled and the voice of a misplaced angel melodiously parroted FAA regulations. Women in saris and kimonos dragged as their penance. Behind them, toddlers clutching Occidental teddy bears. And chair legs screeched in the food court, while ill-paid wraiths mopped circles of night into the motionless floor. In Peace, a poem by John Updike.
Wow. Yeah, he wasn't a slouch, was he?
No, he wasn't. I love the description of the scene and the people. Oh man.
Yeah. He was really an incredible author. I was
yes.
Just so interested in what he was doing. I thought it was great. But
as well, like you said, as well as being an author, you know, it was very interesting to check out his poetry. It really was.
You know, I think we get so used to people actually being, being just prose authors or whatever. It's really cool to see them kind of switch the kind of medium that they're using or the rules of the medium that they're employing, and it's interesting. I've always, especially as I've been writing books, I'm realizing more and more that writing forces your brain to become more organized with thought. You have to be more organized when you're playing something out, and you become more conscious of like some of the fallacies you start to use. And
that is what I love, like with you guys, with the poetic form of the month.
Yeah,
you know, and getting prompts from the garden and from Poetry in Spring's Embrace, it puts you basically in the frame.
Absolutely,
this is the frame, and now you have to take what the frame is and paint the content.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, there you go. That's actually a really good way to say it too. That's something we love as well. So okay, glad we're not nuts. Glad we're actually.
Yeah.
You're like, great. No. Here's that form of the month again. All right. Hey, well, thank you, sir. We'll talk to you during the return engagement, I hope.
Of course. Well, I would say on to the next, but I'm it.
All right. Well, then on to the next, plural. All right.
There we go.
All right. Sounds good. Well, we'll talk to you in just the next segment.
Yes, sir.
All right. Thank you, sir. And that was Stan calling from Alabama. In 1 second, I'll get the next one. Alabama. Sorry. Alabama, at least we're not Mississippi. Apparently that's I didn't make that one up. That's someone else.
Interesting.
This one, I like this one, though. Arkansas, literacy ain't everything. And it's spelled L-I-T-T-E-R-A-S-Y.
It's true. It ain't everything.
Okay. But hey, it is now time for this magical thing that we like to call the return engagement.
Engagement.
Engagement. What kind of a jackass does that to introduce a segment, especially one as special as the return engagement.
Engagement.
Engagement. Okay, anybody who wants to call in, share another poem, or if you want to call in for the first time, you can, 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID World Poetry Open Mic.
This is Draven from The Silent Still, and you're listening to World Poetry Open Mic.
All right, and we are back. JT?
Yes, sir.
Maybe I can ask people in the chat room, where do you find leather pants? I mean, I'm trying to find some of these things. I'm having a really hard time. And I don't mean like physically finding leather pants. Like, I know that when they exist in the room, they're just like pants that are leather. But I'm just trying to, I mean, can you find them anywhere? I've looked all over the place. And it's almost like they don't exist anymore.
Have you tried, like, a possible, and I don't know, but, like, a Western shop?
Yes, and it's not a thing.
Okay, I didn't know.
The only thing that happens is it turns out to be, like, chaps, and then that's not the direction I'm going.
You don't want to wear just chaps?
I'm not
trying to
turn
underneath
to Mr. Slave from South Park. I'm literally trying to buy leather pants.
Okay. Well, you could always buy two pair of chaps and flip one the other way.
Yes, yeah. That is brilliant. The best part is that there'd still be no crotch.
Oh, wait. That's right. So sorry.
Just two pairs.
Forgot about that
one
part.
One on the back, one on the front.
Yep.
Almost a whole pair of pants. Cost me three times as much.
And then you need to buy Russell Crowe's...
Yes, his cod piece from Gladiator,
yeah,
as it were.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I could couple that with his wig from Master and Commander and have a real good time.
Or maybe that's the approach you need to go, is just go find a costume designer.
You know, that's possible. But I'd just like to go buy some leather pants if they're available. Maybe we could just skip the costume designer part.
So then you have to go and buy two pair of...
Oh, my gosh. This has got so much more complicated than I thought it was going to turn.
So sorry. I forgot about that.
It's okay. Yeah. No, the costumes, there are no crotches.
I forgot that the front didn't. My apologies.
How do we get into these conversations?
You asked.
I didn't ask about that.
I was coming up with ideas.
All right. I'm an idea kind of guy. You are an idea man. That is for sure. We're very thankful.
Never said it was good ideas.
You and I both, man. That's why we get along. Okay, let's go to Chris in Michigan. Hopefully he can save us from ourselves. Hello, Chris.
Hello.
Sorry about that conversation there. Figured we would try to eject over to you.
Do you really, really want to know?
Probably not.
Well, just go to a motorcycle dealership in the accessory section. They got all the leatherware you can buy.
In the accessory section?
Hell yeah.
All right, all right. I'll go over there.
Where when they drive bikes around? Damn.
Yeah. Well, is that going to be like one of those things where, you know how like when women will buy clothes at Victoria's Secret and it says something, you know, across their butt, am I going to have like Harley Davidson written across my butt or something like that if I buy one of those?
You would deserve it.
All right, perfect.
All right. No, they're not that crass.
All right.
If we knew where we were going, we could always call them up ahead of time, JT.
Good point.
Just let them know I'm coming.
Uh-huh.
I got a real piece of work coming to you to try to buy leather pants right now.
I love it. I love it, Chris. Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you, sir. We're going to give you the stage now, though, okay?
Fair enough.
All right.
Well, you know, one of the things that we as poets do, we wander the world and we look at so many other people's thoughts. And they, in turn, drive our thoughts to better places sometimes. Well, I was out wandering the world in 2013. And a writer with the handle of Amberdeen carried my mind to how I remembered other places and times. A sort of reverie, I guess. Childhood thoughts and adult moments. Daydreams of views from around the world. I wanted to thank Amberdeen for having the inner eyes and the heart to touch my mind. So this is called Kites, and now you know where it came from. I thought of meadows and commons and small city parks, places where children and even some not so small come, and the things we do and the whys. And the sounds I miss, the echoes passing, yet still heard. The effort of paper ribbed and fragile. All the colors bound to earth by bits of twine and the dreams. The dreams behind eyes. And you run and pull and run and guide. Try harder. Pull. Run. And fly. Higher and higher still. Further and farther. And away. Flies. Flees, like life, it pulls and draws and holds me. Thanks, Amberdeen.
Beautifully done once again. Wow. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. And don't, like I said, don't forget. Get yourself some good leather and wear it well, and maybe it'll protect the parts before they become spare parts.
Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough. All right. Hey, thank you, Chris. I appreciate it. All right. Have a great one. Hopefully we'll talk to you next time.
You take care.
You too. Thank you. And that was Chris calling from Michigan, leading us off here in the return engagement segment. Now we're going to head to a special place, a place that they like to call Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania, cook with coal.
Ooh.
Yeah. Hey, that was a good one. What do you think?
Is he a king?
Sure.
Only if he's old.
Old King Cole was a merry old soul, and a merry old soul was he.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
And no matter what he did, he couldn't bring himself to agree with saying dilly dilly.
Dilly dilly!
Batman, one day we're going to have a talk. I'm just going to call you Batman from here on out. That's it. We're going to go now to Batman in Pennsylvania. I don't know why he's in Pennsylvania.
Gotham City.
All right. Anyway, so let's see. Is it? It's still technically your birthday for another few minutes, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
About
cool.
20 minutes.
About 20 minutes. So we're going to give you the stage. We're going to let you read. We'll talk after. Okay.
Well, you're going to need to sit in the captain's chair for this one.
You got it.
End of poem. End of poem. A phrase to denote its conclusion. And time to commence your applause. It also stands in this imperfect world against the dreaded Shatner pause, where I tell you, it is my ship, and set phasers on stun. So now, to bring about this poem's completion, I hearken to the words at its inception and simply say, end the poem.
Very, very nice. Very good. JT, you know, we missed a real chance to be doing nothing but William Shatner speech patterns the entire night.
Rocket Man.
Yeah, Rocket Man was brilliant. Did you ever see his, I think it was kind of a short-lived interview show that he did, Jim? There was a, he did with a few people. I remember one with him doing, was it Gene Simmons from Kiss? And he was interviewing them. But they would sit in these chairs that were put together in an S pattern. So you were facing the opposite direction of the other person, but you were inches away from their face. And he'd interview them sitting that way. But they were like in-depth, hour-long, really in-depth interviews. And they were great. But it was just typical of William Shatner, just one of those just weird, weird shows that he would do. And they were great.
Courting chairs.
Courting chairs. There you go. There you go. Yeah. Obviously, I don't court.
I'm not even going to date them.
You wanted to what?
I'm not even going to date them.
Well, okay.
Courting chairs.
That's a personal opinion. Yeah. Don't date them. Just court them.
Right.
All right. Hey, thank you, Jim. Happy birthday once again, and we'll talk to you
thank
again
you.
Next time. All right.
Yes.
And that was Jim calling from the magical Provence of Pennsylvania. Worst accent of all time.
I was like,
let's go
that?
Now to Michigan. No.
Wow.
Well, see, now I'm just going like straight Little Mermaid. Because it's going to be a hot in that big, you know, that kind of thing. That Le Poisson, do you know the song I'm talking about?
Sure.
Do you know the song I'm talking about?
Not right offhand.
You don't know the French chef song from Little Mermaid?
I don't remember. It's been a while since.
Okay.
Sorry.
After the show, I'm going to sing that at the top of my lungs in Applebee's over and over until you know the whole thing.
Okay.
That sounds fair and completely sane. Let's go to Dennis in Michigan. Who hopefully can save this. Hello, Dennis. Welcome back.
Yes, this is Dennis.
All right.
I'm back.
Woo-hoo, yeah. All right. Well, it's been a great night, and you led us off here at the beginning. Thank you so much for all of it.
A wonderful night, and what a great collection of voices tonight.
Yes, agreed.
And everybody has contributed so well.
Yes.
And I would like to continue my birthday tribute to James Rothline.
All right.
I'm going to read a cover poem, a poem by James Rothline. The title is Experiencing the Other Name for Autumn. Gravity is the attraction of a smaller body to a larger one, and standing high upon a ladder, I was attracted to the earth, with arms flailing, I soared with ease through the empty air, perpetrating yet another horrendous bird imitation. Perhaps, if I was descending from a loftier height, I could have contemplated the complexities of constitutional law, or why my cats were regarding me with a disinterested air. But as my journey downward was just a second long, and I, being allergic to pain, only had time to think of how much it would hurt when I made that sudden stop. End of poem.
I connect so deeply to that poem. Every time I've tripped, I've felt something very similar.
Yes. Yes, your life almost flashes before your eyes when you're midair.
And it's true. It happens, and I got to say, I'm really disappointed. I'm laying on the ground going, oh, that was not what it should have been.
I don't want to do that again.
Yeah, exactly. I got stuff to do first. Well,
yes. Well, thank you, James Rothline, for writing that and allowing me to read it. I hope I did it some justice. And happy birthday! And I hope you have a great year to follow. So I'll leave it at that. I'll move on down the line. Let the next poet step up to the mic, and I'm going to say, God bless.
God bless, Dennis.
God bless, Dennis. Thank you. And that was Dennis calling from Michigan. Michigan, it's a state.
That was really lazy. I'm sorry.
Well, I mean, you know, I've had to come up with so many of these nicknames. We're actually technically out of Michigan nicknames.
Okay.
Because we've done, so I was doing like one at the beginning, one at the end.
Right.
I only had four.
You probably should have saved some.
Well, I didn't realize what it was going to be.
Well,
okay, I didn't plan well with the whole nickname thing,
apparently.
Okay? So I'm just trying to get through this.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
All right, so now we're going to go to Barbara in Connecticut. Connecticut, it's like Massachusetts, only dirtier and with less character.
I did not write that one, Barbara, just to clarify. That was your governor. No, I'm totally kidding. That's
Connecticut is very, very clean.
Okay, all right. It is very
except
clean.
In places where they're constructing, which is all Stanford. They seem to be constructing all the time. So,
okay, all right.
Continuing the James
train, the James train
birthday celebration. I found a poem written by John Updike that's about birthdays. It's called Vero Beach Birthday.
Oh, see, I see what you just did there.
And okay. I think you'll like, yeah, it's in James's style, okay?
Ah.
Kind of. You'll see.
Okay.
63 years ago, 1,000 miles north of this strand, a bundle of innards and outward signifiers was conjured from the reluctant loins of a Pennsylvania lass with literary aspirations. It took forceps to get me out, but once out, I resolved to have what fun there was. Candy, the comic strips, the opposite sex, and golf. Now here among retired CEOs deposited in walled communities whose seven-figure pastel domiciles bespeak funereal discipline, a wealth of wasps preserved in money's sparkling amber, the forceps tug me one notch further out. End poem.
Good choice. And yeah, that does feel a lot like Jim, doesn't it?
Yeah, doesn't it? It's like, yeah. It's like short, and his mother was from Pennsylvania, so this is, you know, a tribute to Jim from John Updike and me. So
that's lovely. It's lovely.
Yeah, and you know, it's just want to let everyone know that 2 days ago it was Purim. And my daughter, Rachel, she said to me, we didn't buy Hamantaschen. And you know what Hamantaschen are?
No.
They're the triangle pastries you see that are...
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. See and then eat all of without questioning what they're actually called.
Yes, they're called Hamantaschen, and they're named after Haman's hat. Haman is the wicked man who wanted to kill the Jews, and he put up, you know, a execution. He put up a gallows, and he was going to kill all the Jews, but it turned out it didn't work out. So
okay, it never does. Yeah, okay.
It didn't. No, it was bad for him. So,
good.
In honor of that awful man, we eat his hat every single year.
Perfect.
Yes, but I didn't have any this year, so, you know. And Rachel reminded me that we always have them in touch, and so I don't know what that means, but it's 2019, and it's a strange year anyway. So I'm going to get off the phone and let the fifth person get on and say goodnight to you, Michael. And by the way, before I go, Chris is right. You can get leather pants.
I saw that.
In Harley Davidson.
Yeah, yep. I figure that. Yeah. I don't know if I'm going to get the kind of... I was looking at their website after you said... Because I saw you said it in the chat room right after I heard him say it. And I was looking... It may be what I'm looking for, but might not be also. You got to understand, I spend a lot of time on stage. It's a stage look affectation, so... I'll have to.
You want the really tight ones, so maybe just go online and look for rock pants.
Well, you understand, if I look for rock pants, I might be finding something totally different. Pet rock clothing.
Truly crazy, crazy people in this world.
Wait a second, JT. JT's like, that's your $1 million idea. Clothes for pet rocks.
And now it's out to the world.
Oh, I shouldn't have said it. I'm sorry. Okay.
This crazy world, that might catch on.
I got to tell you, I'm going to officially launch, once I'm no longer a teacher, the thing I've been joking around about for years, which is my vanity underwear store online, which will be called whatsthongwithyou.com. And
definitely.
And yeah, it's literally just underwear with my face on it. That's all. That's all it is.
Victoria's Secret for men. Yes.
No. It's underwear for everybody. It just happens to have my face on it. That's the whole joke.
Oh, I see that.
And I'm actually not kidding. This is going to happen. I might be wearing a mustache or something, but it's going to happen.
Oh my God. Anyway,
I'm not going to sell anything. It's just a joke.
Have a great week. All right. And I'm going to get off the phone because...
Why? Why, Barbara? We're having such a great... No, I'm totally kidding. I'm just playing around. All right. Thank you, Barbara. We appreciate you.
Okay. You take care.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye. And that's how you keep the calls quick, JT.
No comment.
I'm loopy. I've been up since 3.
Oh, I'm sorry, dude.
No, well, you've been up right around the same amount of time.
4.
Yeah, see? So, I mean, there's no excuse. I'm just being loopy for some reason.
Yeah.
I'm going to center myself. Breath in. Breath out.
See.
Breath in. Breath out. All right. And now we're going to go to B in South Carolina. You know what's strange about South Carolina's tagline, which this is not planned?
Okay.
It is, while I breathe, I hope. is their tagline. Ooh. And I happen to know the Latin translation of that, which is Dum Spiro Spero. Hello, B.
I was just going to say, imagine North Carolina, but South, you know?
it's just real sudden, like, turn south and walk a little ways. There you go. Yeah. How are you, B?
I'm doing good. I'm really excited. I'm in the Wizard of Oz right now. Getting stuff ready for that.
Nice.
Gonna be the lion. So I just sound like a grown man.
A grown man.
I'm 5'1". I'm just trying to hang out. And Belle, can you please find a grown man? But I'm actually. I've been really tired, so I've been up. I wrote a poem because I'm tired. That's all I do is that poetry and be tired.
Fair enough. I get it.
Cool.
All right.
So this one's called The Dirt, I guess. I get it. The world is awful. It's full of greed, insincerity, and blind hate. I hear about it every time my phone goes off. Every buzz in my pocket reminding me of goals that were set but not reached. Good things turned discouraging. People once alive, now dead. But this needs to stop. All the distinguishing dirt turns into stone. And frankly, my fists have gotten bloody from trying to crack it all. So I leave the demolition till tomorrow. Every decision I've been told has meaning, yet the mere act of me trying to find peace amongst sisters is seen as a revolution of lazy, a craze of disconcern. This could not be farther from the truth. For you see, I have came into this world kicking and screaming, and I've continued to follow in this trend. This time, not for the nourishment of my body, but for the soul. I will fight for the moment of clarity, a moment to be able to breathe above the waves. I will pounce and scream for a chance to hear my thoughts above the wind. Because while the bad is getting worse, I sometimes need to look away to be able to have a vision for the future. End quote.
Very, very nice.
It was wild. I was taking one of my buddies home today. And I was like, oh, open mic is on. And I made him put it on the Bluetooth, and he's like, What are you doing? I'm like, and he's like, he hears y'all talking, and he's like, so this is what you do when I'm not around, I guess.
Sit around listening to strange people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's okay.
It does happen, yeah.
He's like, who's that? I'm like, I guess the internet to you, sir.
to be fair, there was actually a time that I was in the middle of a really crazy concert in the middle of the floor, so there's people everywhere, and I was actually in the chat room of the show.
That's right. You were.
And I could if I held the phone up to my ear, I could actually hear the broadcast happening, which is actually pretty funny.
My goodness.
Yeah. Now, I'm going to throw something out. B, I saw that you gave the advice that I should go to a thrift store to find leather pants, which...
A thrift store. I believe in the thrift stores.
Oh, I totally do. Like 100%
do.
I believe. Now, on the other hand, leather pants for a grown man, you do not want to know where the leather pants you might buy at a thrift shop might be if it's a grown man size.
We love thrift shops, but we do deep cleanings after we buy
them.
You
believe in the deep cleaning as well as the thrift shop. Fair enough.
Yes. I'm like, we buy them. We have a ball, but we deep clean them.
Okay.
My buddy, he has checkered pants.
Yes.
At the thrift store. So I believe that whatever you want to find, it's going to be in the thrift store somewhere.
I believe that 100%. And the other thing is you got the thrift store there, or the other side you can do is you can always go like eBay And you can find almost, you can actually dress very, very well for very, very little money. Yeah. That's very true.
Literally, I just like, I recently got, film for my cameras, for my Polaroid cameras, recently. And I, you have to buy multiple because sometimes you just don't get any.
Sure.
So I just, I was opening it up this, this morning and I was like, these are already, there's already pictures on these.
Yep. Yep.
And I was like, and I went to the store and developed all that fun jazz. And it's just like a birthday party from the 70s.
Well, at least it wasn't anything too bad. Okay.
Good. But it's, I love just buying stuff that people already have. That's the best kind of con.
Yeah. Very good. All right. B, thanks so much. Thanks for calling. Best of
You're
luck with everything.
So much.
Yeah, we love it. And so we'll talk to you whenever you can call us again, if, whether it's next time or any other time. Our own arms are open to you, and we're looking forward to it.
I can't wait till next Friday.
Sounds great. Thank you, B.
You're welcome. Bye.
Goodbye. And that was B calling from South Carolina. And I'm not even going to change their slogan because that was great. South Carolina, as I breathe, I hope. That's actually a little slogan of mine that I've had in my life for a long time.
It's good.
Spiro Sparrow. All right. Let's go now to Ohio. Ohio, absolutely worth leaving Indiana for.
And Mama has to call back in.
Yeah. Mama, we're having that Skype issue again. We got the itis, the Skype itis. If you could hang up and call us right back, we'd appreciate it. That also means Philip in Kentucky, if you are on the line, Stan, Don, it's all going to be the same for you. So you're probably all going to have to call us back. If you're listening and you want to, you can hang up and just get ready to call us when it's time. All right, JT, you want to end the call?
Yeah,
see if we can get her to. Okay, yeah. Because sometimes people just have things turned off so they can be ready. Unfortunately.
Well, what a bummer. There it is.
There
ready?
We go. Here she is. She's resilient.
She is.
Hello, Mama.
Yeah.
All right, welcome. Sorry about that.
Got you back.
No problem. I can hear you. I don't know what happened. I think I didn't want to.
No, that wasn't you. That's us. That Skype does that after we have a certain amount of people on hold, but it's really random. It doesn't do it on the same numbers anytime. It's really weird. So it wasn't you. That was us. Thank you.
Okay. Well, anyway, she was right about going to the thrift shop to get those leather pants. They got goo gobs up on there.
Yeah, but I mean, guy leather pants at a, I've never found good leather pants at a thrift shop. I've found all kinds of other great stuff. I go to thrift shops all the time. Yeah.
You have to go to a store. You can't go to, like, a thrift shop near a trailer park or anything. You got to go to the thrift shop out there where the rich people live.
Yeah, but you got to understand, trailer park people are probably the only ones who own leather pants. No, I'm kidding about that.
They don't own those kind of leather pants. You got to go out to where the rich people live.
No, you're right. That's what I do. That's what I do, Mama. Actually,
And then you spray them on the inside with a disinfectant, and then you put them in the dryer to kill any bed bugs.
Okay.
Then you go to a little old lady that still sold, and you get her to put a new crotch in there, like a cross crotch in there, so make sure you don't get any bacteria.
But you know what? I mean, this is starting to sound more and more like JT's plan. I mean, just getting two pairs of chaps, sewing them back, and then getting a whole new crotch put in that thing. What's going on? What's with you people and crotches? What's going on here?
We don't want you to be out there, like, you know, out there looking like, you know, a homeless man with a makeshift pair of pants.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. You know, I get it. There's a lot of reasons that I don't want to do it. Yeah, I get it.
We're trying to keep you covered.
Thank you for that.
Okay, another idea I have about your leather pants fetish is you go to a
fetish,
little
old, okay. Yeah.
A little old-fashioned little old man with a sewing machine that's been in the neighborhood forever.
Mm-hmm.
And he was an old seamster. Well, I don't know if they call him seamstress, what they call him, tailor.
He's a tailor,
and
yeah.
Again, to make you appear.
Actually, see, that would be much better, wouldn't it? Actually getting something, like paying someone to make something.
Man.
Totally.
They're all dying out. We used to have plenty of them, but you can just walk up the street. One little old man used to walk up and down the street with his sewing machine.
Well, see, I don't think they walk up and down the street anywhere now. It's like, and I can't just walk up to any old man and be like, hey, you want to make me some leather pants? But I do think...
Well, you gotta say, look, does anybody know little old man that still knows how to make stuff?
Does anybody know a little old man who knows how to make some leather pants? All right, I'm going to ask that question. I'm going to see what happens. No, but I actually completely understand what you're saying. I could go on and on and on about the thrift shop deal, but you're right. As far as if you were going to buy something used like that, there's a little bit of a work and protocol to go into it to make sure that everything's on the up and up. But I'd rather hire someone to make it, to be honest.
Yeah, you can find, but you got to find the right person because, see, those little old-fashioned tailor men, the ones that are, like, real tiny and they get, their hands are still nimble. They've been, like, sewing for 100 years.
Yeah.
They make the best. Yeah. Because they make the stuff that, before we went to China, they made all the stuff.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I like all that stuff way more than even the nicer clothes. Going and I'm actually starting to make a move. This is sounds ridiculous, and we're going to move to your poetry. I'm making a move, actually, Mama, to getting rid of all of the clothes that of mine and replacing them with things that have just been made for me by people in the area. I'm actually doing that, no joke. So
that's so cool. That's so cool. Okay, so I'm reading another sad poem, but it's not really sad. It's just that it was my daughter's birthday yesterday. My birthday is in 4 days, and she was my bring-home gift. So I'm not going to go directly to her, but it's all of the children that I noticed that were, like, sickly or have some type of problem or just any little thing that they seem like angels, like they were just better than the other children. They were just good. They were just, like, I can't explain. They're like angels, and I just think they just came here. And the name of this piece is called Born to Die. Have you ever seen one of those children who was born to die, and they knew it? Have you ever seen the compassion and sorrow being emitted from their eyes? Did you notice the child born to die had an aura of extraordinary radiance, somehow more beautiful than the healthy child, and seemingly wiser, though sorrowful yet wise eyes. My eyes speak to their eyes and ask why the sorrow? Their eyes answer my eyes, my sadness is for you. My eyes speak again, why were you born? To just come and go. Why was I to bore you just to bear the burden of your leaving? Why did God place you in my womb before cutting his own ties with you? Why is your human so breathtakingly beautiful, your intellect superb? Why did God place you in my womb? Did you come here to teach me how to love? Did you come to show me how to live or just to remind us that death is an inevitable angel sent to help us realize that tomorrow is not a promise? Life is not entitled to us no matter how special we think we are. We all are just visitors passing through. Spirits occupying the same space and time. And in a blinking of an eye, we could be gone just like that. I cannot help but feel the tears heat my cheeks as I am fulfilled by the joy of your existence, no matter how brief. As every emotion rushes in, I cannot help but feel your strength. I prepare thoughts of how grateful I am for your visit and the lessons that you taught. No matter what, I must not worry. No matter what, I must not cry for eternity. You said, one day you'll understand why I'm the child who was born to die. In peace.
Well, so Mama, I got to tell you, I've spent a lot of time around children who were, as you poetically say, born to die. And when I was growing up and when I was in the hospital, especially, you know, that. And I think that was a really kind of befitting piece about them. You know, there's another kind of mission or another kind of purpose that they seem to be moving towards.
They're so deep, and they always are the best kids, like the most polite, the most humorous, the most delightful, the most everything except healthy. I mean, like
yeah. Because you don't forget that life is leaving. You know, it's like that's the same reason I try to make an effort every time I leave my family or I see, you know, my friends or whatever is, you know, either shake their hand and say, I'll see you soon, thank you, or tell people that I love them or whatever, because I don't know. And I learned that from those from those kids. You know, you don't, even if you're upset, you don't take things for granted.
Well, this one little boy, I got a video of him. He wears eyeglasses. He got, like, he walks with crutches. He's learned to walk, you know, like, with his walker. And he's just as happy and joyful. He walks in with his parents, and he says, good morning, guys. You know, it's like, look at me. I'm walking. You know, he's just so grateful to be here. And it's like, I've seen actual children in my life that were the same way. I just know that they're angels. They just come. They have just a different attitude. It's just like I had to write about them. And some of them I know that lived a little longer, like my daughter, even though she was 45, I saw it in her. I don't know if they call them indigo children or angels or what they are, whatever they are, but they're very special. And I just feel them deep down in my soul. I just love them. And, anyway,
I understand. Yeah, I do too.
Yeah.
Wow. Hey, thank you, Mama. We appreciate you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Goodbye. And that was Mama Oladeji calling from Cleveland, Ohio. All right. Now, let's head to, let me see if I can pull up a new thing.
Well, he's got a call.
Okay. So while he's getting ready to call, Philip is getting ready to call.
We can try.
Okay. Let me see here. I got to pull it up. Okay. Okay, so this, I have a site up. It's called Actual Honest Tourism Slogans. So this is for Kentucky. Of course, the current one is Unbridled Spirit. But hello, Philip.
Nope.
Are you there?
No.
Okay. So you got to hang up on him?
Yeah, Philip, if you can, go ahead and give us a call back.
Yeah, Philip, please give us a call. So here's the deal. So I'll just read this here. So Unbridled Spirit is Kentucky. But then here's the better slogan they came up with. Kentucky, if you don't have something nice to say, sit over there far enough away, but speak loudly enough so I can hear it.
Can you hear me now?
We can hear you just fine. How are you, Philip?
I'll let my laughter speak for me, sir. I'm effusive for you and Mr. Gunther.
You know, I got to say... with the cowpoke thing, when you say stuff like that, it instantly like gets a song in my head, and now I'm thinking of Schopenhauer singing cowpoke, which is just the weirdest thing I can think of.
Well, I think even Schopenhauer singing would be, you know, and maybe he did. I don't know. I
think at one point he had to have at some point, you know.
I have no doubts that he probably did.
I bet you he was ridiculous. I bet you he had a sense. You know, he was probably silly as hell. Let's be honest.
Well, I know his writings were full of mirth and lightness, he also gives pretty good marital advice, I think, you know, so at least indirectly, but I don't really know off the top of my head. Now I'm just...
Indirect marital advice.
Right, yes, from Uncle Schopenhauer.
Yes.
Yes, everyone seems to be in really a fine form this evening, and, you know, it's good to be here with you guys. I missed you last week, I think, and the week before, so, you know...
We're happy to have you, for sure.
Well, I appreciate that. I really do. It's good to be slap happy with you guys. And I'll get to my poem and get out of everyone's way so they can, you know, get to bed on time, right? And I just want to preface this piece that, you know, no cockroaches were, you know, harmed in the making, nor were any smoked. Roaches, that is, in the making of this piece.
Well, that's too bad. Okay.
The title, Shuns the Light, and here we go. Half my recollections are invented, too much time veiled behind fiction, either an estranged relative or someone faded into faceless disassembly said, you're burdened by an excess of night, moonless insomnia, uninvited guests who arrive from uncertain memories during the lone dark anti-meridian passage, when I observe a cockroach clamber across greasy plates and unclean forks. Admire creatures unburdened by emotions, epitome of the will embodied in the form of six legs, precision antennae, and enamel hard back, bearing trauma with ease. And there it is.
Really enjoyable. Really enjoyable. Yeah.
I appreciate that, sir.
You are. Y'all you got it. You're welcome. All we're trying to do is make you smile, you know? That's what this is all about.
I appreciate that, man. All right.
You got it. We're just here to give out smiles. That's why we're sitting here in the forest. Just smiles are us. This is getting deliverance real fast here, Philip.
Yeah, I know.
I'm about to pull my banjo out.
No, right.
You know, I got to tell you very, very quick. I got to tell you this. So I was a kid, and I don't know what my father was thinking, but he let me watch Deliverance on TV. And the very next day, no joke, we were going to a fundraiser, and I get sit at a table. It was a celebrity golf tournament to raise money for children's cancer.
Mm-mm.
And I'm sat right next to Ned Beatty.
No way.
Yeah,
really?
I actually met Ned Beatty the next day after seeing Deliverance.
I know, right? It's like, how did you show up here? What happened to you last night? And I saw him.
Yeah, and I'm sitting, and I'm like 12 years old going, this is uncomfortable.
Right.
Anyway, whatever. Okay. There you go.
Thank you. Yes. I appreciate it, Michael. You're filling my head with such bedtime material before I go to sleep. It's just marvelous. You guys have a good evening, and
you as well.
I will see you next week.
All right. See you then. Thank you, sir.
All right. Cheers. All
right. Cheers. And that was Philip calling from Kentucky. Yeah, you get there. According from Last of the Mohicans,
yeah,
you turn west real sudden, like you turn left.
Ooh. Okay.
Well, I mean, in the part that we're supposed to be, it kind of made sense, but right now it doesn't really make sense.
Right, right.
Because if we did that, we'd just end up in Mexico.
Right. Stan needs to call.
Hey, Stan, give us a call. All right, I'm going to pull up the thing for the honest tourism slogan for Alabama. Should we get ready?
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. So Alabama's basic, or their wait, is it even here? Oh, it is here. Okay, here we go. So their current slogan is Sweet Home Alabama. Okay, here we go. Here's their better slogan. Go ahead if you need to. Here's our the better slogan for Alabama is this one. We beat your school in football, and your school...
Oh, my goodness.
Sorry.
Okay.
We beat your school in football.
No. We just stomped on it. Let's just...
Okay, I'm sorry. So are we
just losing the...
It's just dropping right now.
Okay, let's try one more time here. Okay. See what we're doing. All right, Stan, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, wonderful. Okay, now I'm going to do this slogan thing because the ringtone and all that got all weird. So I'm gonna do the apparently the other slogan, tourism slogan, the suggested one from this website. So the current one for Alabama, Sweet Home Alabama, this one is, we beat your school in football, your school beat our school at school.
Roll Tide!
And there we go. All right. So welcome back, sir. Thank you for waiting. Thanks for being patient. All right.
I love it. That was a good one.
It's pretty good, isn't it? Yeah. I wish I'd written it, but I haven't. So what do you have for us?
To anybody in Alabama listening to this podcast, I'll probably find them at my door with pitchforks and torches. But hey, it's so funny.
Fair enough. Yeah, I get it. I get that. Yeah. That's the thing. They have pitchforks and torches, and you're like, but it was funny. You know, that's, I don't know if that's an excuse that they'll take, but you know.
Yeah. Ooh.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah. Fortunately, they do have a sense of humor.
Well, good. That's awesome to hear. So let me ask this. What do you have for us?
Well, what I have for you was actually a little something that was thrown my way by Nyla Alicia over at Speakeasy.
Oh, great.
And she wanted, of all things, this is the kind of weird stuff I get thrown, she wanted a long-winded brevity. Hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
That's what
okay.
I thought.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm going to read that because it is James's birthday.
All right.
And this is brevity, but, and here we go. There are men, then there are men. But what does that really mean? Are you a man because you're at a certain age, or through your actions is your manhood seen? But then, what of the rites of passage, the milestones, measures of your advancement? Is it by others this is determined? If not, is it your own self-measure? By what increments? But why need there be a measure at all? Is this a traditional gender-based contest? Does physical prowess prove you to be more, while faithful and determined counted less? Yet, maybe the measure is first by you, the passage you have inward earned. The value of character and principles measured by those in your life to be discerned. But seems this same has quite a few variables. Through diverse assessments, it is seen. I say intent and actions define us as men. In those measures, our value is gleaned. But then, never mind. In peace.
All right.
I enjoyed that one. that was cool. I like that for a lot of reasons, actually. I like that. Oh man, yeah. It's one of those things where
of looking at the saying, which is. The first time I ever heard that saying, it was my dad said it to me.
Oh, really?
And I was a 9 years old. And I thought, okay, and exactly what does that mean? I had no clue.
Yeah.
I was 9. There were men, and then there were men. Well, yeah. There's quite a few of them around, yeah.
Yeah, there's quite a few, but not. It's something that I found really interesting, though. It's that, and I might be totally wrong about this, but... from at least the perspective that I've seen, that it's like you can grow old older enough. Like, you can be a male that grows old, but you have to actually earn the title being a man. Whereas it doesn't necessarily, I mean, maybe I'm wrong in this, like I said, but it doesn't necessarily seem to be that for women. And it's not to say it's unfair. I just think it's just an interesting thing, you know?
Yeah, I think that is correct. That is correct. Yeah.
But at the same time, I like the subject. I like the way you kind of went after the prompt as well, and the concept.
Well yeah, because like I was just sitting there thinking, there's the brevity in that statement.
Yeah.
And then to make it long-winded, just start kind of picking it apart.
Yeah, that actually does make sense. JT, what did you think of the whole thing?
No, I enjoyed it. I agree. It is something that there's a lot to be said in just those few little words.
Yes.
True.
So
truth. Yeah. Hey, Stan, thank you so much. We appreciate it.
And thank you. And hopefully this time on to the next.
All right. Yeah, hopefully so. I think we got this. All right. Thanks again. All right. We'll talk to you next time, okay? All right.
All right. All right. Bye-bye.
Goodbye. And that was Stan calling from Alabama. And now we offer Don from California to give us a call. Let's see. So, JT.
Yes.
Can I read you something I saw? This is a short poem.
Sure.
Okay, here we go. This is not from me.
Okay.
It says this. And so the rainbow fish gave one shimmering scale to each of his friends. Now all of the fish were shiny and bright and beautiful. Unfortunately, this meant they were easily visible to predators. The rainbow fish had doomed them all. Natural selection is a cruel mistress. That's it. That's the end.
All right.
You like that one?
Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty good. Yeah. All right. So, Don, we're going to go. What do you want us to? Should we give him a couple more seconds here? I don't see him in the chat room.
Okay.
What do you say? You want to give? Let's give him 20 more seconds.
Okay.
And then we'll go from there. Okay.
Okay.
All right. So we're giving him a few more seconds, but like I said, oh, here he is. Perfect. Good.
There we go.
Hello, Don. Welcome.
Welcome. Yes. To you too.
All right. Well, thank you. We're happy to have you. You're the last caller here for the return engagement. So what I'll do is I'm going to give you the stage, and then we'll talk after. Okay.
Yes, sir.
All right.
This poem is entitled Brandied by Sweets. It has a quote that introduces it. The quote runs, "How long will justice be crucified and truth buried?" And this quote was brought to life again by prisoner 7089. Also known as Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., branded by sweets. I lived in the M&M Hotel on 5th and Howard Streets when I got into San Francisco City, waiting for the court to grind its beef with me down into one edible sentence. For me to eat in the federal penitentiary. I didn't know the bar below the hotel. I bought mine from the grocery store at 4 for a dollar, and when I was read the verdict, served a sober 1964, 1965 as refuse, saying, no to Vietnam, and no to the murder of John F. Kennedy. I finally got released and drank. A lout waking up from guilts which needled me. And then alcohol ate holes in my stomach. There had to be something to live for. While I sobered up, I made friends with the main bartender from the M&M ground floor. His history served customers, mostly reporters from the old Metro newspapers who were tired of typing and wanted to sit and talk. Yet others lined the dead edge of the bar, crumpled, alone. The main bartender tended bar, but drank only after hours to pass out on the floor before the late, late drinkers passed out the swinging doors. The want-to-be poet and the drop-out bartender engineered sobered each other up until a certain woman drove by in a sidecar-type motorcycle and hit me, the would-be poet, so hard I fell into the body of her machine. She died when I was 11 months sober, and her tribute was a posthumous book of her poems. While I wrote instructions on how the book was to look and feel, I couldn't read her words inside until 30 years after her death. Today, I write again, a little now and then three-liner, when bee thoughts don't attack my strange honey as if it were an enemy. End quote.
Beautifully done, Don. Wow, way to go.
I hope that it's not abstract, but there, you know, you get the abstraction letter. I know I thought there were a couple words in there that were too abstract, even though they had been glued on to solid words. So I'll probably have to edit. Did I say edit? Yeah.
But it's the process that, you know, it's the process I think we all go through. I mean, there were, I thought it seemed really solid and it wasn't too abstract. I felt like I was following it just fine. But however, we each have to go through and craft, you know, and I understand that. And that's a job that only we can do. So I wish you the best of luck with it. But we definitely enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. And I missed you guys.
I have
sickness with the computer and sickness with this, I don't know, portable phone. I don't remember what it is. So my difficulties keep me from communicating. So I'll try to get some money together fix the fixables. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
I have a small brochure. I think it's a two-pager.
Okay.
So if I can get onto the computer, I can send it to your email.
Okay.
But if I can't, I'm going to ask for an address and send a solid version of it.
We'll give it to you.
I apologize for that, too.
Oh, no, nothing to worry about. Yeah, whatever is easiest for you, just let us know, and we'll provide whatever you need.
Okay. Thanks much.
Thank you, sir.
Enjoy the night.
You as well, bye-bye. And we'll talk to you as soon as we can, okay?
Bye-bye. All right.
Good evening. And that was Don calling from California, rounding out our return engagement set. All right. It's been a good night.
Yes, it has.
Hasn't it? Man, I feel good about it. Okay, so that was a good solid, what would you say, almost an hour, not quite an hour and a half, but it just, but not too far away from it, of a return engagement segment, don't you think?
Yeah.
Right around there?
Yeah.
Collectively. Okay.
Collective.
Because of the calls, kind of, you know, time changes. Okay, so, guys, thank you so much for spending time with us. James, thanks for spending your birthday evening with us. We don't take you for granted either. We're looking forward to having a great show next week as well. And, yeah, we just really appreciate you all so much. So, from myself, from JT, from Novia, the studio cat, and from Ursa, the studio dog, we want to say thank you for joining us. We love you. We'll see you next time. And until then, keep writing. Good night.